Welcome back to the Unanimous Decision Podcast. Welcome back to day three of podcast week. That is our week every year where I drop a podcast a day on a variety of topics. So far, if you've been paying attention, you've already heard Chad Floyd talk about the Georgia Bulldogs' fortunes. You've already heard Michael Felder from Stadium.com talking about Power Five prognostications. That's me in alliteration right there. Kids. Tomorrow you're going to have myself and Aaron Freeman talking about the AFC, and on Friday our SummerSlam extravaganza, myself, Cam Hawkins, Rich Fan, and Sam Franco giving you all there is to give about fake fights. You found us. Make sure you don't lose us. Subscribe in the iTunes store. Subscribe everywhere podcasts are given away for absolutely free, including Spotify. Leave those 5-star reviews on iTunes. I'll read them on the air. Once we're out of podcast week, of course, everything kind of combobulated with the timing of the recordings and whatnot. Now, that's all kind of the major housekeeping stuff I want to do, let you guys know about. Make sure you also follow me on Twitter at DPalm66. Follow the show at UDPod. Follow the network at the MTR Network. We're here, day three. We're talking NFC football, and when I do that, I reach across the aisle and I shake the hand of someone who I probably shouldn't do it with. That's right. Nata the Scribe is back. Nata Edwards, he writes damn near everywhere. Tell them where they can find you, bro.
Well, they can find me at Dime Up Rocks primarily. I'll probably end up doing something for Queen City Nerve this season. There's going to be a lot of stuff I'm going to write. Also doing Up Rocks video games. So I can continually DM you the stuff I get codes for so I can torture you.
So you saw that was, I gave him a very gracious introduction. I was forthcoming. I was kind. And this is how the fuck he replays me. Just everyone noticed that. But no, man, thank you for coming on. I think it's your second or third time on podcast week. And before we get into the business of the day, breaking down the NFC and kind of figure out what the season's going to do, I got to ask you something. So this, we're recording this on Saturday. Spoilers, I record these out of order sometimes. And Draymond Green just got $100 million from the Warriors.
Yeah, as he should. They were in a spot where they were going to have to do one of two things. They were going to have to either pay him at the outset, hope he accepts an extension, or they were going to have to trade him by October. Like, there was no, like, in-between with this.
Yeah, because unpaid Draymond wasn't going to work.
It's going to work because I think his game will age a little bit better than people think he will. Now, granted, he's going to have those days of 8-8-2, but there are also going to be those things that you can't necessarily measure yet, like the team defense and the guy that basically picks up when Steph gets broken down on a defensive possession. So it makes sense. If you're going to keep Steph, if you're going to keep Clay, you might as well keep Trey. And I think the thing that, like, Warriors fans – are kind of okay with how this is going to go going forward. So there aren't going to be the titles that they expect, but that crew staying together, potentially being the new Spurs.
I want to step in here and get in front of this nonsense about the new Spurs. So I understand what you're saying, and I understand why it's a good deal for the Warriors. If you're going through the other NBA lenses that people tend to look at other deals through, like your Boston Celtics or your LA Lakers, this is a bad deal because there is no future here. The problem when you get guys this young, that early, and lock them in the contract is they all get old at the same fucking time. It happened.
Very true.
If you want to take the view that everyone, like, I'm not obviously ascribing this view all the time, but I've heard enough of the hate this season saying that, oh, the Clippers and Lakers both gave up too much. Hey, man, they've kept too much. If that's a problem, then this is a problem, right?
No, this is absolutely a problem, and you're right about that. To me, there is no such thing as you gave up too much for Kawhi Leonard. There's no such thing as you gave up too much for Paul George. Wings that can legitimately change the direction of your franchise. And on top of that, you kept Landry Shamet, who now becomes your backup, wing in a Jamal Crawford role. I don't see how that was a bad thing. Now, granted, you are right. Like, this will all age horribly, and we have, ironically, the Spurs to look at, because while Pop has managed to keep them in playoff contention, it ain't what it used to be over there. You don't have any of those holdovers. Tony Parker finished in Charlotte, for God's sakes. Manu Ginobili fizzled out, and Tim Duncan is now coaching, and he's going to have those Tracy McGrady pants on the sideline. So, I mean, like, I get it, but for I guess the thing for me at least is it doesn't always have to be championship or bust.
I agree with you. All I'm saying is that when people are telling me that the Lakers gave it too much for Anthony fucking Davis, I'm looking at this and like, wait, why aren't you giving the same kind of shit to the Warriors? And we both know why, because it's a good business to hate on the Lakers. And I've been in that business most of my life. I understand that business. I was born in it, as the kids say. So for me, I just want to make sure that we're keeping consistency across the board here. If the Lakers deal is bad, then this also has the similar downsides in flaming out at about the same time.
Oh, no, they're all flaming out around the same time. It's going to be interesting to see who has next, because everybody has Giannis tabbed, and I'm not so sure. Not yet, at least. He's got to develop a three for me to believe that. I don't believe in Philly going forward. And I would love to see who's next after these next 2-3 years. But for now, this season coming up, oh, man. Just buy league pass now.
Let it rock. You and I are going to talk about ball this season a bunch. But right today, we're here to talk about the other kind of ball, a bit more oblong. It flies weird. It's football. And the way it bounces is that sometimes it ends up hurting one of the people on this podcast. The other one of us is a Giants fan. And, well, you're past pain now, buddy. All right, let's start.
Yes. Again, I finally got to your side of the ledger.
What's that?
I finally got to your side of the ledger where all I know of football is pain. That's it.
I don't know just pain. That's the other thing is that we'll get into this. Obviously, I talked about it on the Georgia podcast, but I've reached a place with my sports love, particularly football, where I know it's going to turn eventually, so I enjoy every good moment on the way there. You're devoid of good moments, concern.
Hey, I still got 2 Super Bowls. I don't have to worry about blowing a 25-point lead in one.
And that's the thing is, you live. Like, I'm talking about like weekend to weekend. My Sundays are going to be fine.
Yeah. Your Sundays are going to be just fine until they aren't. Like last year.
And the thing is, you never have that high, so you get. I see what you're saying. That maybe mine hurts more. I'd rather ride that way, baby. I want the crests. I like a life full of crests. There'll be valleys. I get that. You're on the Midwestern plain to nothingness. But we'll get to the NFL East soon, NFC East, excuse me, soon enough. Let's start out West, where things have changed, but they've also stayed the same. We'll start in Arizona, where they fired their coach after one season because black.
And they hired
Cliff Kingsbury, who people will say, oh, he did fine at Texas Tech. Actually, he fucking didn't. He underwhelmed Texas Tech, a school at which Mike Leach won a bunch of games. He finished under 500, and he was up for the USC offensive coordinator job. Somehow he parlayed that and maybe, just maybe, being in a room with the Rams coach once into being the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, shipping out the player that they just picked last year, Josh Rosen, and bringing in Kyler Murray. There are a lot of questions around this program, a lot of questions around the offense, the defense, the special teams, the coaching, the front office, you name it, they've got problems. Steve Kimes should be on the hot seat, but I'm pretty sure he's insulated himself by hiring Cliff Kingsbury. Neto, what's the one thing you're looking for at Arizona this year? Because while I think Kyler Murray, based on some of the reports out of camp, might be a transcendent talent, I don't know if there's enough around him to support what he could be.
Who's he throwing? Again, I honestly want to know who he's throwing to. Because I like Larry.
Larry's there. Andy Isabella is out dealing with a knee injury right now. Hopefully back for next week. But yeah, that's a great question.
Like, I want to know who he's throwing to, because I like Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald should have retired and gotten a Fox job by now. I really don't know who he's throwing to, and I don't know why we're expecting all of this, especially with the system, the air raid, which while concepts have translated over, not the full system. Like, you can take bits and pieces and make it your own, but between that and Kingsbury, like, I want to see how a college coach can just basically translate over into the pros, because have we seen it really successful outside of Pete Carroll for that 1 year?
We've seen it in places. We saw Chip Kelly do well for a season or two, but I think you're right. I think it points less to the NFL and the Harbaugh that's in Baltimore. I think it's less looking at saying, the Harbaugh look. I don't name them. They're just Harbaughs. they like milk. I know that. I think what's interesting more than the college coach thing is what you pointed to directly, the spread offense. See, Spurrier, who perfected it and ruined my childhood, couldn't do it in the pros. Chip Kelly brought it in. It was unsustainable because, and I think it's interesting because as we see the paradigm shift in the NFL away from your tall, rangy, big receivers to your guys like Adam Thielen who are shifting and making people miss an open field, maybe this is the time where it's where the game and the size and the mentality has caught up with the scheme. But I'm not willing to bet Cliff Kingsbury on it, are you?
No. I'm definitely not. I don't trust Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury hasn't done enough to deserve it outside of, like you said earlier, being in a room with a man out in L.A. Like, that's it. That's the only thing he's ever really done. And besides that, like, this is Arizona we're talking about. And we will always talk, me and you have talked about this before. The biggest competitive advantage in pro sports today is functional ownership. And a lot of these teams that we're going to talk about that are either going to be hit the over or probably be way, way under, those are the teams that usually have the consistently poor ownership and have learned to get out and just don't get out of the way and meddle and want to change everything because they want to stay in the headlines to promote their product. That's it. So I don't trust Arizona. I think this is going to be a shit show.
Let's go next to the LA Rams. They represented the NFC last year in the Super Bowl. Obviously a great season. The questionable call possibly ruining football for the foreseeable future until they figure out how they're going to actually judge these defensive pass interference reviews. The Rams, for me, this is a good team, man. I think Jared Goff obviously has to make a step forward, particularly as you see probably the load get lightened for Todd Gurley, where people want to point to him as a bad contract. When you say bad contract, I assume you mean for the player. You say bad contract about Todd Gurley, I'm like, where? This is a great contract. He got his money. He got his guarantees. And, you know, hey, he's going to do what he can do. He's not going to do any more, any less. How do you see the Rams faring in this kind of this West? Because you look around in the West, I'm not really scared of anything here. We'll talk about San Francisco and Seattle in a second. But is this a place where the Rams can repeat?
This is easy. Nah, this is the easiest one. Like, I don't know necessarily the over-under totals on this on the Rams this year, but from everything I've seen, like, again, San Francisco we'll get into, I don't trust. Arizona is an easy two wins for them. And Seattle, like, they have Russ. At best, they split. Like, at best, yeah. They split. But I don't see it with them. I've yet to see it with them. I don't understand why anyone thinks that this isn't the Rams division to lose, barring like catastrophic injuries. And I mean, Wade Phillips is still captain, is still coaching up that defense. So as long as he's still there, I'm trusting the Rams.
And while there is another graduate of an Atlanta private school involved here, uh-huh. I have to, and I'm not saying this because we beat him in the jamboree my freshman year. I'm saying this because I think you're right. Yes, I am. But McVay and company, I think you're right. This is the best staff there. The idea to keep your hands off the defense, let Wade Phillips do what he does. There are really a lot worse plans you can have. And yeah, I think the Rams team is poised to overturn. Yeah, you may notice this year format wise, I'm not doing over unders. I'm trying to get away from the gambling talk as much as the preseason stuff. Just let us talk about it some. But, you know, there'll be no pick'em this year. There'll be no fantasy this year because I'm tired and I work really hard outside of this too. And I'm going to take some time for me and not do that. Next, we're headed to San Francisco. The Niners, everyone's high on the Niners because they think Jimmy Garoppolo is good. Kyle Shanahan's out there still. I'm not sure how good Jimmy is just because it's a small sample size. Am I being a hater or am I being righteously, cautious?
You are. I'm kind of like the thing is, I'm not used to agreeing with you this much.
So this is a very strange podcast.
Like, this is like the one thing. Like, I don't like San Francisco. Like, how many times are they're gonna pick in the top two or top three before we start going like, hey, maybe there's something wrong with this team. Maybe they bet on the wrong quarterback. Maybe Kyle Shanahan's not the guy to do this, and maybe
John Lynch shouldn't have this job, considering we came out of the booth to do it.
Exactly. Like, there's nothing about this that looks like it is a solid foundation, and it has everything. Like, this looks like a key place for some guy that actually knows what he's doing. Maybe a Sasha Brown if the Wizards don't stop paying him. Maybe that's a place where a guy who knows what he's doing can go out there, fix the 49ers, because I don't see it right now. This looks like – this has the look of a 6-10 team all day, and I don't understand why people are high on them again.
It's I feel like it's one of those situations where you've got to kind of be outside the box and be high on someone who no one expects. A couple years ago, it was the Lions. I think this is this team this year where everyone's kind of, oh, watch out for the Niners. And they go to 1-3 or something, and they're like, well, don't watch them that closely. So, they open up with the Broncos, Vikings, Chargers, and Raiders. They could be 1-3 after that.
I could see them losing to the Raiders. That's how bad
I wasn't counting the Broncos.
Mm-mm. Like I can see them lose. I can see them going 0-4, and we're talking about Kyle Shanahan on the hot seat.
I take it back. They don't open. Their opening is Cowboys, Broncos, Chiefs, Chargers. That they're still 1-3. I was on the wrong team. Sorry, but that's the Niners' first four games. You could be 1-3, only beating the Broncos out of that.
I don't even think they'll beat the Broncos. I think the Broncos are going to
win. That could be 0-4 real quick, fast, in a hurry.
Yeah. That's not a good team. Like, the Niners are not a good team. And I'll be happy to be wrong on that. But I don't see it.
They're all primetime games.
Of course they are.
They've got the Cowboys at 9 p.m. on Saturday. Oh, that's preseason. Jesus. All right, my eyes are – I'm clearly need more coffee this morning. It's one of those situations where I just don't think this is a good football team. I don't understand the hype. I don't understand the way it's put together. I don't like the fact that you're pinning your hopes on a quarterback who got hurt in his first full season of business.
No, I usually see to you on some of the more nuances of football on this. I am a basketball guy for, like, kind of, but – what about this? I would ask you this. What about this looks like a solid foundation? What about the Niners?
Even looking at like the depth behind Jimmy Garoppolo, if there's one time you say, oh, maybe we should shore up some depth, bring in a veteran to be a calming hand in case something happens, Jimmy Garoppolo is the oldest person in that quarterback room at 27.
Yeah. That's not good.
Other like quarterbacks, you would think they were signed to Nick fucking Mullins.
Who, mind you, looked better than Garoppolo did when Garoppolo was healthy.
Please believe it. He looked better as a fit for that offense. It's going to be interesting. They picked up Tevin Coleman from the Falcons, and I think he's going to be a great running back for them. But, like, I'm looking around here. I don't get it. Who's he throwing to? Who are they throwing to? Marquise Goodwin?
I don't get it. Marquise Goodwin's a good slot guy, but, like,
but
as a
number
one.
Dude, he's 5'9".
Nah.
He's 5'9", like, their media guy, which means he's like 5'8".
If not 5'7".
Right?
So, yeah, no, this is not a good
Jalen
Hurts,
the rookie from Baylor, will be a good fit for them, but, like, this is not a situation where I think offensively you got anything really to brag about. Defensively, obviously, if you're going to run a defense and let Richard Sherman be one of the key cogs in it, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, but Richard Sherman in 2019, though,
oh, no, like, I'm talking about from a leadership.
Yeah.
Assignments won't be blown. How about that?
I'll give you that. I will give you that.
Like, I feel like it's one of those things where I was like, and maybe this is just the football player in me, I do look a lot at who's going to lead your unit. Offensively, I got a whole lot of question marks. Defensively, everyone, when things go wrong, they're going to turn to Richard, and he's going to calm them down.
Yeah.
Because this is the NFL when things are going to go wrong.
Well, you expect it to go wrong. So, like,
yeah,
I totally
for the very least.
Yeah, like I'm totally with you on these Niners. Like, I don't understand. I don't. And
this is a great little piece.
This is gonna cost somebody some jobs.
Yeah. Right. Like, I don't love it. I don't love it one bit. All right, Seattle. Let's talk about it. They got Russ. Like, that's they got Russ, man.
Yeah. That's it. They got Russ. Maybe they get something out of Metcalf in year one if his route running gets better. I don't see it. Wagner, again, they got Russ and Bobby Wagner got paid. Like, most of their business was done in the offseason. Congratulations. This is an 8-8 team, though. Let's be real here. This is an 8-8 team with maybe, like, a variance of, like, maybe one or two, one way or the other. It's 8-8 team, though, to me. Like, they're going to be okay. Maybe Russ pulls one or two out, and maybe there's a wild card, but just there's nothing special. The offensive line is okay. That's it.
We'll go next to the North. Yo, like, doing the prep for this, I forgot the roster of killers on this Bears defense.
Yeah.
Absolute yeah. axe murderers. And it starts and ends – it doesn't start and end with – but it does start with Khalil Mack.
Remember how much – again, we were talking earlier about too much for Paul George. Remember how everybody said the Bears gave up too much?
Because – it's wild because it's one of those things that for as valuable as Khalil Mack was to the Raiders, he's somehow more valuable to the Bears because the Raiders, it was kind of the Khalil Mack show. And now it's yeah. the Khalil Mack players because it's not just Khalil Mack. You look at the front, just the front seven here. We're talking about Akeem Hicks fucking, I love the way he plays. I'm a huge fan of his inside work. You're looking at Leonard Floyd. Obviously, I'm a Georgia fan. Guys, rangy plays, amazing outside linebacker. And somehow, they let them get Roquan Smith last year, which I don't know if people were blown away by watching Khalil Mack. Roquan Smith is goddamn terrifying and translates horrifyingly to the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, because, again, he's got mobility. Like, Roquan Smith was one of those dudes when I was when I really started just watching Georgia football and – like, Roquan Smith was one of those guys that, like, popped out at you, making plays. And you knew that athleticism was going to play on the next level. Like, Roquan Smith, like, that defense, and you got Eddie Jackson, you got a whole bunch of killers on that defensive side that, I mean, honestly, like, I don't see how they're not the – well, actually, I do know how they're not the Super Bowl favorites.
On the side of the ball,
look at the quarterback.
Well, but, even if they went out on the secondary this year in the offseason and acquired Ha Ha Clinton Dix, who still got it.
Yeah.
He still I got mean, it. He got traded from Green Bay last year to Washington. But you know what? He still got it. He's still going to be able to do it. And particularly with that front seven in front of him, guys, like, this defense can be scary. And then you look at this offense and you're like, oh, it's still them, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, literally, had the Bears just drafted Mahomes, we'd feel so much better about this team.
I mean, yeah.
Think about that. Think about that. We'd feel so much better. And I don't trust the quarterback. I like Tarik Cohen. I like all the skilled players. I just don't like the quarterback.
I don't trust the guy who catches the ball the most.
And as someone that saw a lot of Trubisky in North Carolina, I never understood the hype. I don't get it.
I'm right with you.
Like, we're agreeing entirely too much right now. This is, like, scary at this point.
Yo, Trubisky was the third leading rusher on this team last year.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, no. See, that's, like, when you have to find ways to make him useful like that, when you have to scheme like that, at some point the bag of tricks does run out, right?
We saw what happened in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because if you had passable quarterback play, that's probably a Super Bowl team right there.
Exactly. That's your favorite. That's your favorite in the NFC out of a whole bunch of teams that are going to, like, I don't understand. Like, to me, I would have at least brought in a vet to push Trubisky before you have to really actually pay him or franchise him. And right now,
he's got some time to. They got time to bring someone in. It's year two, I think.
I think it's year. Oh, is it year three. Two or year
Jesus.
Three?
It's year three.
Yeah, it's year three with him. My new thing is bringing a McCown brother. At least they know what they're doing. Now, granted,
Chase Daniel's on the roster.
True. True.
I mean, it's a name. It's someone who we know can not melt down if he has to be put in the spot.
But we both agree that this is the Bears division to lose this year, right? Because as much as I like Minnesota and they're a bunch of killers, I'm not sure. Again, as little as unsure as I am of Mitchell Trubisky, Kirk Cousins, yeah.
We know what he is.
Yeah.
We know what he is. That's the beauty of Kirk Cousins.
League average quarterback with guaranteed money.
With a creepy serial killer smile. Let's go to Detroit. I mean, we have to spend a lot of time here. What do you want from me, guys? It's more of the same. It's Detroit. It's Matt Stafford putting up stats that, in a vacuum, make him a Hall of Fame lock, but he's just playing on the dysentery-ridden group of Oregon Trail Riders. Like, I'm sorry. Like, he can put up all the numbers in the world, but as long as he's a Lion, he will not prosper.
It's not even that. Like, again, I'm going to harp on this. The biggest thing, competitive disadvantage in sports is ownership. And this team decided we were going to instead just fire the guy that knew what he was doing and bring in the latest Patriot coordinator that is yet to work out for any team. Let's go hire the latest Patriot coordinator. That's the best way to say, you know what, we're going to be bad for 5 years and we're going to nuke any sort of chemistry because we're going to bring in a guy that says this is how we did it in New England and no one's going to care. And they're right not to care because you don't really have the pelt on the wall. So Matt Patricia is going to be fired probably this year, if not next. And they're going to go 3-13. And Matt Stafford's probably either going to get released and go find somewhere else to go, or he's going to get traded to somewhere. Like, this is a 3-13 team. Let's be real here.
As a Georgia fan, I really hope he gets out of there. Free Matt Stafford.
He's got one of the best arms I've ever seen live. Period.
And that's the thing I have trouble like translating to people. Like, you don't seem to understand. If you've never seen him throw a ball in person, just do it one time for me.
Like, you get it. It's nuts. You get it when you see it.
It's nuts. We had Stafford, AJ, and he couldn't get it done. Oh, man.
Well, oh boy, yes. Those two need to just find a team. Like, they need to just go dream team it up somewhere. They do.
It really hurts. Defensively, I don't hate it. I really don't. I just don't think that there's enough defense in the NFL today to warrant the bad things that are going to happen on this offense. And like you said, the poor way it's been run for the last few years. That, like, as you say it out loud, like, you keep saying that competency thing, and it's so right. It's the biggest competitive advantage because we go to Green Bay now, and this is the team that I should be picking to win this division.
Oof.
I'm not. I'm saying I should. Because
I think they're a wild card. Getting away from,
the fact that they're going to run something besides slant flats.
Yeah.
Should give me the hope.
They're one of the wild card teams. To me, they're one of the wild card teams because, like, if you're going to tell me I can either pick out of the North. If I either have to pick Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers, I'm still taking Aaron Rodgers, despite everything that came out about him this year. Like, I think that's going to be the difference.
I like a quarterback that's a little crazy, a little weird.
Yeah.
Like, if your quarterback is putting forth this image of, like, this completely normal guy, like, I can't trust that quarterback. This quarterback who I'm like, oh, he's neurotic and he thinks he knows what's best – yeah, that's kind of the quarterback I want, the cocky guy you got to reel in, as opposed to the guy who, like, go out there and be a leader. No one's ever said that to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Like, the thing with Aaron Rodgers, and everything that came out, it was just like, yeah, that sounds weird. Yes, that sounds everything, but it's like you've never been around an athlete, like, a day in your life. Most of the good ones are weird.
Like, the level of frustration when you feel like the other people aren't up to your standards must have driven Aaron Rodgers insane.
Exactly. But the thing is, like, and this is where Ted Thompson and management, like, legitimately dropped the ball. If you knew this was coming, why didn't you fire Mike McCarthy? Like, Mike McCarthy, that was the other takeaway I had. If it was that bad, then you should have cleaned house and built around Aaron Rodgers once you gave him that contract. You should have fired Mike McCarthy immediately.
The day you signed Aaron Rodgers to the extension, you're right.
You fire him immediately. That's it. Yep. Like, we're done here because you have officially given the franchise over to a guy you can't move. Period.
Yeah, you can't. But them telling you, oh, we're going to work it out, that you've seen them try. And now there's no threat of one of them leaving, so you've got to get rid of the other one.
Yeah, exactly. So you got to get rid of the other one, and you've got to move on. Now, mind you, on the other side, now that you've gotten your way, Aaron, you have to win. Because if not, now this all comes on you. So we'll see.
You're right.
But I think
right
the wild card.
You're right. But I also look at kind of what's around him. I'm like, he's got to do his best to win. I don't know if he can win. The defense they brought, for the first time in a long time, they spent some free agent money.
Yeah, they did.
And so,
and
yeah,
like
there's
– defense.
Go ahead.
I like that defense. I like that defense a little bit. They got a few pieces. Now, granted, Clay Matthews is out in L.A. now.
I like them in a vacuum. I don't like them compared to the Bears and the Vikings. How about that?
I do agree. It's just Kirk Cousins, and I don't want to put money on Kirk Cousins.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm not talking about the respective offenses. I'm just saying if I had to pick, if I'm ranking defenses in this division, they're third.
Yeah. They're third. I think they get a wild card spot. I think the other one comes out of the South, which we'll get to.
Oh, we will get to that. I don't like the way you said that. We'll get to that. Yeah, we'll for sure get to that. Minnesota, we've been talking about them without talking about them. Both of us know what Kirk Cousins is, 8-8. Isn't that great? Look, their first five games, they could be 1-4. Falcons, Packers, Raiders, Bears, Giants.
2-3.
Then they got the Eagles.
I think they're 2-3. I think they beat the Raiders. I think they beat the Giants.
And then but then you're 2-4 in week seven.
Yeah. Yeah. Like.
So my question now is, so the new OC in Minnesota replaced my least favorite person in football last year, and he did so in a stance that they're going to run more than they throw. The guy who previous him, I was a big throwing guy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that you can win in the NFL in 2019? I hate asking like an NFL television topic, but by saying we're going to lean on the run? But can you throw with Kirk Cousins and win?
No, you can't. The thing is, you can be creative with the run, but with a guy like Kirk Cousins who really isn't that mobile, it's one of those things, like, you have to have a very creative running game, but you're able to bowl people over and run people down and do it the traditional running way, because then everybody knows what's coming, and there's nothing you can do to stop that. I don't – like, if you're going to tell me they're going to run it 30, 35 times a game, then you might as well just go call Adrian Peterson up and see if he can take some of that beating, because he needs money.
You're stepping on my joke for later, but yes, it's true. He does need the money. I didn't say that about you, Adrian Peterson, if you ever hear this. His name is Kanata Edwards, not me. My fear overrides my jokiness.
Hey, look, someone had to say it. And again, at this point, like, he's too busy trying to find an NFL job to come and find me, I hope.
No, he's under contract in Washington.
Oh, that's right. He did sign. That's right. Good. He's got a job. He's in training camp. He doesn't have to worry about me. I'm not going to too many games this year. But again, back to the point, though, like, how much do you legitimately trust this, like, trust a traditional running game to get you? How far do you expect it to get you? Because it may get you 6-7 wins, but for a guy you paid, what, upwards of close to $90 million, all guaranteed? That's not what you signed him for.
Right.
That's not the plan. That shouldn't be the plan when you have a guy you're paying fully guaranteed money. No bonuses, no nothing. He gets paid on the first and fifth. He gets paid every game the same amount no matter what he does. And as long as he's on the roster, and even if you cut him, you still got to pay him. So, I mean, maybe put some more on your quarterback. I don't know.
Hey, Vikings fans, you like that? We'll go down to the NFC East. We're going to open up in the place where this is the easiest topic for me to prep for. Pay that boy, please. And yeah. I know that people are saying, oh, no, look, they've got to make sure there's money to pay the other guys. You can pay – right now they're $10 million under the hard cap. There's room enough to pay these three guys. They just fucking don't want to. And what's interesting is you look at the Cowboys, you see how the schedule breaks out. Normally when things like this, holdouts happen, losses propagate, deals getting made. This Cowboys season's not breaking early for Ezekiel Elliott at all. The Giants, the Washington football team, Miami, the Saints is a problem, and then the Packers. But they could open up 3-0, and Zeke could end up signing a deal he don't want to sign.
Let me put it this way. When Jerry Jones leaks a story where he may have violated the concussion protocol for Ezekiel Elliott and covered up a hit and run, mind you, might have covered that up, covered up a car accident in which he may have had a Ezekiel Elliott may have had a concussion. When he leaks that story to say, look at how good we've been to you, that's a problem, right?
Yeah.
That means you have absolutely no leverage. Yeah. So when that stuff comes out, like, I don't, like, they're going to pay him. He's going to sign a deal he doesn't like because, unfortunately, he has very little leverage, like you said, because of the schedule. Outside of that, they're going to be an 8-18 because I don't see Zeke coming back for a little bit. Not until what? Like week 4 or 5, because he's going to lose the year anyway.
Right.
So, yeah, that's so he'll be in Cabo for a while. He's going to lose the year anyway. So you might as well, again, sit out until they actually need you. And Dak, I mean, I like Dak, but the only way I see Zeke getting his money is if they lose week one, which they have no business losing that game. None. No business losing to the Giants at all.
If they lose at home against the Giants, I'm moving on none of my agendas. I still think the Giants are a trash fire because they've got eyeballs. They're actually the next team we want to talk about, the New York Football Giants. I believe you are a fan of this moribund institution. Would you like to defend anything that's happening right now in New Jersey?
No. Okay. No, I don't. I don't. Again, had I known Dave Gettleman was going to ruin the first childhood franchise I ever remember watching, I would have
You ruined the franchise in the city you're in.
Well, he had help. He had help. There's a lot more than that.
Fair enough. There's a lot of fingerprints on that gun, but it was his gun.
It was absolutely his gun. Man, it's filed to him. He did a lot of things to upset a lot of veterans that literally transferred over to basically getting below market value for a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. to just a whole bunch of just. It was just mess. This is just a mess, quite honestly. Complete mess. And then to draft Daniel Jones instead of Dwayne Haskins, which, again, I don't understand.
We'll get to the quarterback shit in a second. Let's start with the receiver thing you talked about already. They get below market for Odell Beckham. They bring in Golden Tate to a huge deal, who's then suspended 4 games.
And they knew about it.
That's my question. The rumor was originally they did not know.
They knew. They
the knew. Timeline he like, puts everyone. Forth is that it happened after he signed, which is very funny.
The one thing, just because I know, I have some background knowledge on the culprits involved, specifically Dave Gettleman. He knew. He didn't care. He knew. Like you knew this was going down, but you thought that you were going to be able to get a better package than you did, hence why you traded him, and you tried to take the stench away. Because remember, before all of this, you remember how they were trying to leak the whole Russell Wilson wants to come to New York stuff?
Yeah, that lasted like 4 days.
That lasted 4 days. And you notice how none of that came from the Seattle folks, right? Came from Lock and Fora, which basically, and this is a little free game for everybody that's listening right now. If Lachlan Fora is reporting something, it's generally coming from the league offices in New York. Right. So if he hears anything, it's usually New York-based.
Therefore, and they told him the same.
Yeah. So, again, this was a New York-based rumor when they were talking about Russell Wilson wants to come. And more importantly, which is, again, the funny thing about this was, when Golden Tate signed, those rumors still were around, despite the fact that Golden Tate is the reason, reported allegedly, that Russell Wilson's first marriage died.
Allegedly. We said allegedly. No one sued.
Yeah. Again, allegedly. That was the thing. Allegedly. That's why he's with Sierra now.
Would you like to defend anything? Would you like to give us any sort of upside for this team? Because Daniel Jones was a bad pick. I think it's going to bear out as we watch the preseason. I think that this attempt to placate and keep around Eli Manning well past his prime is going to set your franchise back years. And no one's going to get fired for it. Thoughts?
My thoughts right now are I hope Saquon has Lloyd of London on speed dial. To protect
he's gonna make a leap this year. I'm like, motherfucker, he's all you got.
Like, he's gonna touch the ball 500 times this year. And
so how do you think his running style does against 9 in the box?
It doesn't. Think about it. Sterling Shepard is out. Evan Engram is now your number one receiver, and he was okay. He was nearly okay. I don't see it with this team. This team is a 1-15 team waiting to happen, and I may watch three between them and the Hornets. I am in for a shitty, 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 shitty winner. I am in for it.
If you want to finally watch the Falcons, I'll let you.
I might come down and watch it. I might actually come down for Panthers Falcons. I'm not even lying. I might come
down. Let's talk about it off air. We can make that happen. Next up, NFC East, the Philadelphia city where I lived for 2 years, city I couldn't wait to leave. I'm sorry, Philly. You're just the worst parts of the dirty parts of New York consolidated. Eagles, they got the quarterback back. They bring back all that talent. I honestly think Foles possibly could have been holding back some of this talent. Can Carson Wentz stay healthy is really the question of the year, right?
Yeah, I think that's the question for the NFC. Because I think with that talent, I think they can be the best team in the NFC. I really do. I think they can, if Carson Wentz is healthy, everything goes through Philly again. And I think Wentz gets the MVP that he probably should have gotten to begin with that year. So
bringing back DeSean Jackson is just – and I don't know if he's going to catch a lot of balls, but he's such a weapon still even at this age that you have to – you've got to roll coverage to DeSean Jackson.
You do. Think about it like this.
Clear out space underneath.
Think the league and still running by people. We don't think that DeSean Jackson can do the same thing.
Right. Right.
Like, that's it. You have to legitimately factor for this guy. And this should work. This should work well. This should go 13-3, 14-2 if Wentz stays healthy.
And that's the thing. That's the big question mark. And I hate the fact that we're hinging an entire review of a team on the health of the quarterback. But it's true. With the loss of Foles to Jacksonville – the question now becomes, well, what happens if? Let's go to the look at the depth chart here, see who the backups are. I'm trying to pull it up here. ESPN's being
Nate Salt. Nate Sudfeld is still there, right?
Sudfeld's there. Cody Kessler's there. And something called Clayton Thorson's there, too.
But think about it like this, though, Paul. We're talking about – think about the variants we're talking about. Oh. If Wentz gets hurt, we're talking about a team that's picking top five in the draft next year.
Yep.
That's how bad. That's the variance with this team. We're talking about anywhere from – it can be as high as 14-2, but if he gets hurt, That's how many quarterbacks can we say have a 10-win variance in this league with the roster they have?
Yeah. I would say maybe San Francisco, but honestly, they may be better if old buddy from Southern Miss plays.
Yeah, exactly.
The Washington professional football team.
Oh, boy.
Before I get into the craziness that's happened this preseason and been kind of out in the news, hey, man, Alex Smith maybe should never play football again.
Man, look. That I get that he's always had these unfinished questions and everything else, and I hate to bring it to basketball, especially with the Melo situation and the Jeremy Lin situations, where they feel like they get to answer their careers on their own terms. And sports doesn't work like that. Sports tells you that you are done when they tell it to you. Alex, like, literally had, again, it was almost a Joe Theismann situation, if I'm not mistaken.
He almost lost the leg.
Exactly. Like, let's think about, like, you made quarterback money, Alex. You're going to be fine for the rest of your career. Think about life after football. Start working. Start getting good at TV so that, you know what, you can go out there and start working the Pac-12 network or something along the lines of that. You're still one of the best quarterbacks that they've had in a long time out there. So go start working on that second part of your career. I think he really needs to focus on that because of football. It just ain't in the vocabulary for him anymore.
I want him to get healthy. If focusing on football is what's going to help him get through his rehab, that's fine. But realistically, someone in Alex Smith's life needs to say, hey, man, football's done with you. Go be a coach. Yeah. Go be a talking head. You can't do worse than Witten did. Like,
exactly. Exactly.
It drove Witten back to the gridiron, which, if you've ever walked away from it, that's a long drive, guys. Then we get to the Trent Williams of it all.
Oh, boy. Bruh,
what the fuck? So for those who don't know, Trent Williams is the all-everything tackle for the Washington professional football team. He has been there for, I think it's 7 or 8 years now, been just a stalwart, 6-time Pro Bowler, one of the best in the game. This season, during the season, he said he felt something on his head. The trainer told him it was nothing. It turned out to be a benign tumor. If you misdiagnose potential cancer, I'm not coming back.
You should be fine.
And that's exactly what Trent Williams said. He says, I'm not coming back until that training staff is gone, as well he fucking should. But now we're in a situation where it's not a holdout about money. It's not a holdout about years. It's not even a holdout about playing time. It's a holdout about, I don't trust you with my health. And it's been downplayed a lot in the media because guess what? If one player doesn't trust you with their health, the rest of the players start asking questions. We'll see what happens in Golden State this year. Anyway, staying with football, data. What next? Because if I'm in Washington, keeps bringing in people and saying, we still want Trent back, we want Trent back. I get what you want. I'm telling you what's not going to happen. Like, you can talk through money. You can talk through years. You can talk through a role on the team. You can't talk me through, I don't trust you with my health anymore.
No, exactly. No, you can't. You legitimately can't. Because the minute I saw that story about a missed benign tumor, that was, again, to me, like, if you think, if I could have had potential brain cancer or something along the lines of that, to where I'm like, that's it. You're done. There's no way I'm coming back. And more importantly, they're probably going to lower their leverage to the point where New England's going to come in because they have a left tackle available, a left tackle, and he's going to go there. And that's going to spell wonders for a brand new rookie quarterback who they just drafted 14th, I believe.
And like, what's crazy to me is what this ties directly into the labor fight, which I'm not going to get into on the podcast because I don't want to get too angry. The idea that this would happen, that other players would know about it and still decide, hey, man, I got no choice but to go to work for these people. And then you tell them you're so invaluable that we're going to have an 18-game season but only play you 16 of them because, honestly, you fuckers are interchangeable. It's the biggest slap in the face of the athletes I can imagine. And every day that he remains loudly not on that roster and loudly not in camp is a day that we're going to be reminded of. And we should be reminded of it. Don't let them brainwash you into siding with the owners.
like the thing I personally do not understand about this entire situation is the minute he says, I'm not going to, because again, I'm assuming that Trent and the front office have had discussions about this for months. How is he still on your roster? Like literally, if you don't trust him, if he doesn't trust you, he says, I'm not coming back. You trade him. You trade him immediately, yeah. And you yeah. do it in silence. Because you know what happens in silence? You get great deals. You get great deals. You have no leverage. The leverage keeps disappearing day by day because someone's going to come in and it'll be New England and they'll swoop in and we'll all hate the Washington football team. Which, but mind you, and back to this medical situation, how long have we heard about this Washington medical situation now? At least back to RG3 rookie year, right?
Yep.
You would think. If you have an issue like that, and this is the issue of that I have a bigger that's bigger to me. If this has been an issue for this long, you got to the NFL. I treat it like an HOA. How many HOAs do you know let somebody's house be this like kudzu'd and like the lawn job is shitty and everything else like that? You got vines everywhere. How many HOAs are gonna let that house stay on the market or without being like, yo, bro, you kind of need to leave like right now? Like, how is Daniel Snyder still here? That's the question I have, because if you're continually having these issues with the cheerleader situation, this is a dysfunctional franchise on a level we don't really ever see, because it's always something with this team. It's always something. How is Daniel Snyder still an owner? And again, how is Daniel Snyder still an owner? That's my bigger question right now.
I have no answer. I mean, I have no answer. He does reprehensible things constantly. He's named the team what he's named the team, won't move off of it. And he's become almost a point of pride for that kind of horse shit. And yeah, this is a bad franchise, a bad team. And what sucks is that not one player in the country could say to their agent, I refuse to go there because the jobs are so scarce and they have so little leverage. Hopefully this labor fight that's coming will elucidate some of that. We'll go now to the South. We go now to my pick for the NFC champions, your Atlanta Falcons, number one in your program, number one in your heart.
Oh, no.
Tell me why I'm wrong, dog. Tell me why I'm wrong, dog.
Here's the thing. I see them in the playoffs. They were my other one. I see them as the wild card. I think the Saints.
First slap in the face. Go on.
I think the Saints will be better.
Second slap in the face. Go on.
There's something about the Atlanta Falcons I don't trust this year. I don't know if it's health.
The injury bug was last year. This is a good year for us.
Well, I hope so.
They lost three Pro Bowlers in the first 3 weeks on defense for the season. It can't get worse.
Well, again, let's say something happens to Matt Ryan.
I will hang up on you. Which also, can we take this little moment here to appreciate just how good Matt Ryan was last year?
Matt Ryan was good. Matt Ryan
was objectively great. Like I shared an SB Nation article this week where they kind of like broke down the Matt Ryan's numbers. Like, why can't you people respect this man? Look at what he's done. And people say, oh, he had Julio. I'm like, yes, he had to throw the ball, though. He had to get it there. He made it happen. Like, you know, the Matt Ryan numbers, when you especially look at them comparatively, are obscene.
The thing with Matt Ryan, unfortunately, and this is the last 28-3 reference I will make on this podcast today. Like, literally, if that doesn't happen, we look at Matt Ryan completely differently.
And it wasn't even his fault. That's the craziest shit.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's like,
Julio Jones on the sideline should have been the end of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But a certain head coach in San Francisco called two straight passes. You know what? We're not doing this today. And you're right. Because if that doesn't happen, I'm not here. I don't have to defend Matt Ryan. And you, and even you can agree, it's ridiculous that I have to.
It is somewhat ridiculous. It does enjoy me. It brings a little joy to me that you actually have to do it.
You liking it doesn't make it not ridiculous. You also like certain segments of NWA wrestling that I can't get down with.
Fair enough.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, one game has changed. It's the most Atlanta thing ever to, like, be great, but then be like, I mean, what about the time you fucked up? Like, come on, man. Like, God damn it.
Well, I mean, think about it. That's Atlanta sports. That's Atlanta sports in a nutshell. Mark Wohlers. Let's see. We have the infield fly rule a couple of years back.
What are you doing?
I mean, Dominique Wilkins and
the Falcons. Quick breakdown. Defense will be much improved because of health and depth. Shoring up Deion Jones is possibly the best decision this franchise has ever made. Look for Calvin Ridley, continuing to take steps forward. Mohamed Sanu as your number two guy on the depth chart, or number three guy's importance, is a great have. Like, if your number three guy is Mohamed Sanu, you're going to be okay. We lost Coleman, but I think that hopefully Freeman's be healthy again. Like, this is one of those teams where I'm like, they have such an incomplete look from last year. I can hardly gauge what's going to happen next because there wasn't a full team at any point last year. The season was over in week three.
No, and you're right. And the only question I have is, are they going to pay Jake Grady? Like, that's the question.
They paid him.
For them. Oh, they did pay. Oh, sorry. They did pay him. What am I talking about?
Grady got his money, paid him. That day. Yeah, baby. Because all I said was, people were like, Grady got his money. I said, he should have gotten more. Grady got 4 years, $68 million on July 15th, 42 and a half in guarantees.
Good. Because I was wondering about that. Because Grady was the question
Grady
I had.
Grady going to be all right.
I think they're a playoff team. I just don't think they're winning the division.
I disagree because I think they'll win the division. And I think our next team is actually a playoff team. Carolina Panthers, I'm in. Wow, I'm in.
Do you want me to give you the reasons why I'm not?
Yes, that's why we're here, because you know more about this team than I do. Tell me why I'm wrong about being on the Panthers, because I look at – what I've seen, what I've heard, the reports out of camp for Cam, North Turner, I know he likes to air it out, but it looks like he's adjusted to what Cam can still do. I like the fact that Cam's coming off the surgery. I mean, he's just spent the offseason not pushing himself as hard as he could, getting some real rehab in, real recap in, a recuperating in. And, I like their schedule. It opens up with the Rams, not a great look. But the next four are against the Buccaneers, the Cardinals, the Texans, and the Jaguars, and then the Buccaneers again, and then the Panthers. Then the Niners and the Titans. They've got a good schedule. Things are breaking their way. I love the running game. I love the fact that hopefully we can get less Cam in the running game. They've got Nick Chubb. They've got Elijah Holyfield, who is going to be one of those, God damn it, how did this man go undrafted situations? Tell me why I'm wrong. And the defense. Yo, the defense is still a beast. Keekly's still doing his thing. Tell me why I'm wrong. I'm upset. I thought you'd be excited that I saw something in your team.
There are things I don't trust, specifically that left side of the offensive line. Daryl Williams. Now, granted, Matt Khalil was not good at all, objectionably bad. No. And they went back. That line was so injured they had to go get Marshall Newhouse. That's how bad that line was. They drafted Greg Little. He doesn't look like he's going to be ready for week one. Daryl Williams is a right tackle playing left tackle, and coming off a knee surgery. Greg Van Roten looks to be the left guard on that team right now, starting left guard. I don't trust that line, and if that line cannot protect Cam, I do not think they're going to go far, because I don't think Cam's shoulder is ever going to be the same.
I think 85% of the one of the strongest arms you've ever seen is still a strong-ass arm.
Say it's 85. What if I told you if it was 85 week one, but it drops to 65, 55 by week eight, week nine?
See, and that's like, I'm not going to speculate poorly about a player himself.
I would put it this way: this isn't what I'm telling you. Isn't necessarily speculation.
Damn. But that's okay then. So let's say that happens. Guess what? They're running that North Turner. They're going to run the variation North Turner off of short passes. They've got a receiving core that is conducive to what we talked about already, kind of the idea of going to smaller, quicker players. The running back core has got Artis Payne, who I still like. It's got Christian McCaffrey, obviously, Elijah Holyfield. I think there's enough talent offensively. You've still got Greg Olsen, who, hey, he's long in tooth, but when the job needs to get done, he still gets the job done. I think there's enough talent around him that they'll be able to pick up for the loss of some of the velocity and maybe game-breaking, game-stealing, eyeball-popping power that Cam has always exhibited, because even less of that power is still about an average NFL quarterback. And Cam is a smart enough quarterback, and I think that's one of the things that people discount about him, how intelligent he actually is as far as reading defenses. He's smart enough to alter his game and to make those adjustments. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm looking through rose-colored glasses, but that's just – look, I look at the talent around him. I'm like, if I just got to make this guy make some adjustments, and if I can demonstrate – if it's demonstrably going to lengthen his career and advance the interest of the team, I think he'd buy in.
I do buy in, but I would also say this. They drafted Will Greer in the third round when they had
– Oh, see, and this is the biggest fucking problem with this team, because you're so
– I know.
Ugh. I was part of the Will Greer hive in college. Like, I went in every week, gave everyone Will Greer updates because he was the most fun thing for me to watch in college, even as he was getting worse and worse as the season went on.
They drafted him in third round for a reason.
It's a different kind of hive in Charlotte.
Oh, yeah, he's from. He's from.
I can't believe that.
He's from here. That's the other reason they drafted him. Like, that's...
Is Gerald McCoy going to be a good pickup for the defense, you think? Or is he done?
I think Gerald McCoy is going to help. Remember, that's the other thing. They're going to a hybrid 3-4-4-3 system this year.
Right.
So you're going to see a lot more Shaq Thompson in the middle with Kuechly. You're going to see a lot more – I think – oh, that's the other thing. I agree with you with the defense. The defense is going to be nasty.
Yeah.
The defense is going to be
I had them as a playoff team, but not winning the division. I think Falcons defense is comparable, probably not as good, but I think the gap between the Falcons offense and the Panthers offense is bigger.
Oh no, I agree. I absolutely agree. But like I said, I just don't trust that offensive line.
And that's you being closer to the team than I am. I'm obviously looking at it from a distance.
So let's get to the Saints. Because I know now, I know how you have this division, and I'm wondering what the hell. Because I still think the Saints are good.
I think the Saints are good. I think that this whole we're gonna pull geeks off the street for Drew Brees to throw to, it has to not work at some point, right?
You would think so.
Michael Thomas is the only person on this team who caught over 500 yards. His name is Alvin Kamara last year. That's insane.
I think
he had 125 catches. The next closest receiver had 28. He had 147 targets. The next closest receiver had 44. What I'm telling you is that you cannot feast on Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara alone. You can't. And I'm betting on that. I'm also betting on this defense continuing to be the Saints defense, where I'm always wondering, like, how are you actually employed by an NFL football team?
That's the thing. I keep waiting for that to happen, and it hasn't happened. And I am one of those people that happens to be incredibly surprised that it hasn't happened yet. I'm going to ride with them until they give me a reason not to, unfortunately.
But you see where I'm not coming from strictly a place of hate.
No. I wouldn't expect you to on your podcast. I wouldn't fully expect you to do that. I have higher expectations from you sometimes.
Yeah, when I talk about Florida, it gets a little – yeah, it's not – I'm not journalistically
intact. That's different.
That's different.
They consume bath salts down there. We can't have an objective look at people from Florida.
It's true. It's very true. The Saints – schedule opens up pretty tough, actually. Texans, depending on what you think about them. Then they got they go to the Rams, they go to the Seahawks, and home for the Cowboys.
2-2.
Right. Things are a little bit easier from there, but my question is, it can't be a three-man show. Kamara, I thought, slowed down at the end of last year. And I think that this franchise is helping ruin football for everyone because this ridiculous challenge of defensive pass interference. And if we can all get behind that, I get you guys may think this is a cute story, Steve Gleason, Sean Payton, Drew Brees selling Advocare and bankrupting his family, and then buying some fake-ass jewelry. Those are all adorable stories. The first time you are besieged by a flag thrown on defensive pass interference, know where the blame lies, my friends. The football gods don't like ugly. The football gods do not like ugly. And this shit is ugly.
But here's the thing. Of all the stuff that you just listed, for them to finally get their comeuppance with defensive pass, challengeable defensive pass interference,
I am so happy. It has to happen. They didn't pay for goddamn bounty gate.
That's very true. That is very like here's the thing. I completely understand where you're coming from, where they must pay. But even if they pay for this, this is kind of like Capone getting busted for cheating on his taxes, right? That would be the equivalent of this, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't care how it happens though. They must fall. They must
be bad. I get it.
And the time is now. After committing that money to Michael Thompson, now is the time for them to fall.
Well, you're right. Like I can't say that you're wrong about this because again, this is going to turn 4-hour games into 5-hour games, right quick, and. Yep. I ain't got that kind of time of my day anymore like that. But I'm going to make time. Again, who am I trying to fool?
Last team. I don't believe in them. You don't believe in them. Tampa Bay. The also-rans of the South. They brought in Bruce Arians to wear Kangols and give black people jobs, which I appreciate.
Yes.
But this is nothing. So let's just do this. Jameis, is this it?
It should be. Like, that's the thing I didn't understand about them. I thought they would have been in the Dwayne Haskins market.
Going into the season, they couldn't afford to not bring him back. They had to bring him back.
I still would have drafted they're one of the teams I'd have been like, I'm drafting a quarterback high, and I'm giving him as many reps as possible. Like, you're not going to set Jameis up to fail, but at the same time, I'm having myself a backup plan because, like, half the league, it feels like, is going to be tanking for the kids out of Oregon, for Tua and all that. Like, this is going to be one of those seasons where you're going to have, what, about 10, 15 teams all basically tanking after week 3 openly for 2 quarterbacks? Like, at some point, this is not going to be sustainable. So I would have been one of those that would have zagged where everybody's digging, and I'd have gotten myself a quarterback at least in the first couple of rounds. Hell, go get Will Greer. Like, get somebody that can throw downfield because we all know Arians loves doing that. They have some pieces there to where you can do some things, and therefore when Jameis Winston does fall to pieces like he always does, at least you have a backup plan because right now there is no backup plan. The backup plan is wait for the draft. And I'm not sure that works in a city like Tampa where they can find other things to do, mainly bath salts.
I didn't say that, but it's true. This has been fun, man. We didn't argue as much as we thought we would. We both showed a level of deference for the Falcons and the Panthers. I got to spit in the face of New Orleans, which I will always do because, honestly, anytime I get a glimmer of hope that they'll be bad, I'm leaping on it. And I've got more than a glimmer. I've got karma, the football gods, and common fucking sense on my side. It's called regression of the mean, kids. You cannot survive on – never mind. Let me just stop. Nada.
Stop now because, again, this can go. This can reflect right back on you.
I'm fine with that. Bring it. How much more can football hurt me? I'm honestly beyond
Matt Ryan getting hurt in week 1.
Motherfucker, I watched Joey Harrington for a season. Bobby Petrino left with a note to his players before game 16. Don't start with me.
Okay, you
I was in the building. I was in the building when Michael Vick had his leg broken by the Ravens.
Again, you the one worse year. And so that's for that point alone, and granted, we have been mature about this, but now I hope the worst happens, because you keep asking, how more worse can it get? And it can get worse. And I'm trying to warn you, so now I hope.
I'm sure it can. I'm sure it could. But now I've been given the power of checking out. Last year, I checked out at week 3. When I watched a third Pro Bowl and it was like, see you guys next year. And my life was great.
Yeah, exactly. At least you'll have like a 35-win Hawks team to watch. That'll be fun.
That Hawks team, I'm jealous, is going to win 50 games.
This Hawks, not this year. No.
Who else?
You'll have a year.
Okay, so thank you guys for listening to. No, let's do this really quickly. Really quickly, you get some bonus Hawk talk. That team's winning 50 games because the rest of the Southeast is fucking garbage.
You know what? Here, again, I'm going to leave it at this. They're closer to 50 games than you probably think. They're not a 50-win team this year. This team is young.
You're assuming this things team are going to go right. How to win. You're assuming that things are going to go right. Did you watch the second half of the season? You seem things are going to go right with these front-running teams. I'm telling you, the Philadelphia experiment is going to melt.
Oh, no. Again, we agree with that.
Most volatile situation I've seen in a long time, and I'm very excited to watch it explode.
Oh, no. Again, they have no depth, and they have no picks, and they have nothing to get them out of some of these bad contracts.
And they have no one to run their fucking offense.
Yeah, exactly. I will say this for the Hawks. I don't think they win the Southeast. Not yet, despite the fact that Orlando's a problem.
Orlando?
Orlando's going to win that. Orlando's going to win that. Again, the one thing about a Steve Clifford team, they will not beat themselves. There's
the
default level
of
the Hall of Fame.
Just under my podcast. I may never record again. Nada, before you go, tell them where they can find you, man.
I'm at Nada the Scribe on Twitter. My link to everything I do is on my profile there. Follow me on Instagram at Fresh. Occasionally, I will show pics, but again, occasional journalistic and on my video wise or picture or basically video wise, I will put on the feed. And if you're a fan, please follow me so we can make fun of D-Palm together.
Thank you for coming to day 3 of Podcast Week NFC Preview. We'll be back tomorrow with the AFC Preview with Aaron, and on Friday with the SummerSlam Extravaganza, myself, Rich Fan Cam, and Sam J. Franco, big thanks to Nada for coming on and talking to the NFC with us. He said the word Steve Clifford team, so he may be banned forever. We'll have to see. That was your show. We'll see you guys tomorrow.